From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name of God, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. How much owest thou unto my Lord? Has he ever done anything for thee? Has he forgiven thy sins? Has he covered thee with a robe of righteousness? Has he set thy feet upon a rock? Has he established thy goings? Has he prepared heaven for thee? Has he prepared thee for heaven? Has he written thy name in his book of life? Has he given thee countless blessings? Has he laid up for thee a store of mercies which eye hath not seen nor ear heard? Then do something for Jesus worthy of his love. Give not a mere wordy offering to a dying Redeemer. How will you feel when your Master comes, if you have to confess that you did nothing for him, but kept your love shut up like a stagnant pool, neither flowing forth to his poor or to his work? Out on such a love as that! What do men think of a love which never shows itself in action? Why, they say, open rebuke is better than secret love. Who will accept a love so weak that it does not actuate you to a single deed of self-denial, of generosity, of heroism, or zeal? Think how he has loved you and given himself for you. Do you know the power of that love? Then let it be like a rushing mighty wind to your soul, to sweep out the clouds of your worldliness and clear away the mists of sin. For Christ's sake, be this the tongue of fire that shall sit upon you. For Christ's sake, be this the divine rapture, the heavenly afflatus to bear you aloft from earth, the divine spirit that shall make you bold as lions and swift as eagles in your Lord's service. Love should give wings to the feet of service and strength to the arms of labor. Fixed on God with a constancy that is not to be shaken, resolute to honor him with a determination that is not to be turned aside, and pressing on with an ardor never to be wearied, let us manifest the constraints of love to Jesus. May the divine lodestone draw us heavenward towards itself.
Take my life and let it be.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in a series of studies dealing with the I Am statements of Christ. I Am is the name by which God revealed Himself to Moses in the burning bush. It is the name of the eternal, self-existent, never-changing God. In the Gospel of John, Christ used this name of Himself 7 times. The text for this message is verse 35 of John chapter 6, where Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life." In introducing this part of the study, Dr. Cairns first cleared up a common misconception of this verse. Here the Lord Jesus is not making any reference to the bread of the communion service. Rather, He is revealing Himself as the true bread from heaven. The context of the passage finds Christ rebuking the crowd for following Him only for material satisfaction. In stating his identity as the true bread from heaven, Christ emphasized the real need of mankind, the need for salvation of souls. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Moses fed millions for 40 years. Every day the manna came. So what sign are you showing? And that led the Lord Jesus into this deep and wonderful sermon on the bread of life, the living bread, the bread that came down from heaven. He made some glorious statements as he identified himself for the Jews. As we have read in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Verse 48, he says, I am that. For some reason or other, the translators decided that they needed to emphasize in this demonstrative way, but the verse is just the same. I am the bread of life. Then verse 50, 51. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man, or literally that anyone, may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now this is the first of the seven great I am statements in John's gospel. I am the bread of life. Last week I emphasized that the I am declares the eternal, unchangeable deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think, and this is the reason I took that one first, because it lays the foundation for everything else. I don't think I'm going too far when I say that in every one of these great I am statements, the Lord Jesus is emphasizing his deity. He is emphasizing that he is Jehovah. And in these statements, he explores the fullness of what he, the Son of God, became and did to save his people from their sins. Now, looking at the text, specifically verse 35, I am the bread of life. What he's saying is, I am Jehovah. I am God incarnate, the only one who can give you true eternal life and satisfy your soul. That's the message. I want us to think this morning, therefore, very simply, of the life-giving, life-sustaining, and soul-satisfying Savior of sinners. For that's how Christ presents himself. And in doing so, he shows us four important truths. First, he reveals the real needs of men. Remember what we have read in verses 26 and 27. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Notice this. Jesus is saying, I know why you're here. We would say they came because they in many occasions, because they saw miracles. They were enraptured by miracles. But in this case, even the miracles were not enough to stir their interest. They weren't there to see more miracles. Now let that sink in for a minute. Jesus is saying, you have not come to see me give sight to the blind. You've not come to see the lame begin to walk. You've not even come to see the dead raised from the dead. You're in such a state of heart and mind and carnal lust. You are here for one thing only. You had your belly filled, and that's what you want again. What the Lord Jesus was saying to them. In other words, the Jews to whom Christ was speaking were focused entirely on the immediate. They were focused on the needs of the body. They were focused on the appetites of the flesh. They were focused on the pleasures of this life. And that is the reason for their reference to the manna. They were justifying this. Didn't Moses give manna every day for 40 years? Don't blame us for wanting to come to have our bellies filled. Moses did this every day for 40 years. Now that manna was a great miracle. The giving of manna morning by morning was a tremendous miracle of grace. And it met an urgent need, for without it they would certainly have died. But the fact is that Jesus said that manna was not the true bread from heaven. Oh, sure, it fell down like dew upon the earth, but it was not the true bread from heaven. It pictured the true bread from heaven, but it was not that bread. Because those who ate of it still died. And I think, using the expression that the Savior employs in John chapter 8, I think that the implication is that at least many of them died forever. Now, millions of people today are following the Jews in this addiction to the here and now. This is I suppose it's always been true. Obviously, it was true way back then. But this is a generation, the me generation, the now generation. This is the generation, I suppose, where there's more ability to satisfy the immediate craving. There are more things available. There's a wider spread of wealth. There's the invention of science and technology to make things available. And certainly millions are following these Jews into the here and now and the immediate. And like the Jews, and this I think is the pernicious evil that we have got to identify, because it masquerades very often as Christianity. This mindset would make even religion a tool to gratify the flesh here and now. This mindset would make God the servant of the here and now. It would tie God to serve the interests of the immediate. You see this all around you. As I say, you see it even masquerading as Christianity. But the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing here that the needs of man run much deeper than the hunger of the body, or the pleasures of the body, or even the health of the body. He's making it clear that there's a need that goes much deeper than anything of the immediate circumstances. And the question arises, I think it's implicit here, what use of all the blessings of the body if you die forever? What use all the pleasures of the moment if you die forever? What use the gratification of the lust of this moment if at the end of it all you die forever? Your fathers ate the manna and they died. That's the implication. There is a much, much deeper need. The need is for something to save you from that awful fate, that dying forever that the Bible calls the second death. What is the great need that the Savior is dealing with here? I think it's that which Paul refers to in Romans chapter 1 when he says in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's that that Paul is speaking of in Ephesians 2, verse 1, when he speaks of sinners being dead in trespasses and in sin, dominated by the devil, dominated by the lust of the flesh, disobedient to God, and therefore under his wrath and curse. Because, as he says in Ephesians 5, verse 6, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. The great need of the souls of men is to be saved from the second death. Let's put that bluntly. The great need of the soul of man is not to have the emotional gaping hole that he feels there filled. Oh yes, that is something you could say would be a wonderful thing to happen, and it does happen when God saves a man. But you may feel full and perish. The Savior is making it clear there is a death that is forever. There's a death that takes place no matter what you do in this life to sustain life. There's a death that takes place and overtakes you no matter what blessing you have in this world, unless you have the bread of life, because the great need is to escape that terrible, awful damnation that is spoken of in Revelation 21 and verse 8, where it speaks of the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. Do you notice where that put in? Starts off with the fearful. You would never think of putting the fearful at the list of people that are mentioned here, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters. But the fearful comes first, and the liars come last. And I can't tell you every reason why the Holy Spirit selected that order, but I can tell you that He has put those two comprehensive descriptions like bookends, so that you're not going to be able to come to this passage and say, well, thank God I'm not a whoremonger. Thank God I'm not an idolater. Thank God I'm not this or I'm not that, so I'm not in the list. Which of us has not failed God by the fear of man, or the fear of sin, or the fear of Satan? Which of us has not been fearful? Which of us has not been a liar? Every one of us bears within us that awful poison of sin and of Satan that makes a liar of every man. Which of us has not vowed to God and broken our vows, promised and forgotten our promises, to say nothing of the lies that have besmirched our character and our dealings with men, and everything in between? The fearful and the liars, says they have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is dying forever. A death that hangs over the head of every man by nature. And Jesus is saying, don't be so much taken up with the needs of the body that you forget the needs of the soul. Don't be taken up so much with the lust of the flesh that you forget that you need to be delivered from it. Don't be so much taken up with indulging yourself that you damn your soul. The great need is to be saved from dying forever. So he shows the need.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.